this doesn't have anything to do with the lesson, but when I think about 1 Timothy, you know, it in 1 Timothy 2, when it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and what? Giving of thanks be made for all men. For who? For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So this doesn't have anything to do with the message here per se, but when we pray for those who are in authority that make just laws and make the right kind of decisions, then when I hear something that they're making a law or changing something to treat Israel differently, then that was a law that was passed or a position that this government is going to take to treat Israel differently so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. Because when we touch Israel, it can affect us in a negative way. And so that's why I say it's important. You know what I mean? Say, well, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like this. Well, you may not, but you pray for them so that they make the right kind of decisions concerning our laws. And one is for sure how we treat Israel. Amen. Psalm 34. So let's get into our message today. Psalm 34, verse 1. And we're talking about the power of praise here and thanksgiving. I will bless the Lord at what? All times. That means not just here when we're gathered together. That means all times, right? That means when you're going to work, when you go to bed, you get up in the morning, you know, you have your mind and thoughts on God. You know, I will bless him. His praise shall continually be where? In my mouth, not just in your heart, in your mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And what? The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let what? And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and does what? And delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is what? No want to them that fear him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this is really not just something we do every now and then. This is really something that we want to develop what? A lifestyle, a habit in doing. I will bless the Lord at all times. You know, I think about certain habits that we have, and somebody can correct me, but I believe it's 20 to 21 days. If you do something repetitively or consistently for about those number of days, it begins to become a habit, good or bad. So here, if we just begin to just thank God, praise him, thank God, praise God, praise God, praise God, thank God for this. I'm not thanking him for the problem, but I'm thanking him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. And so this is not just in my mind. This is not just in my heart, not just in my mind and heart. It's where? It's in my mouth. So I'm going to do what? I'm going to lift up my voice and continually. Means what? During good times? Times that I don't feel like it? You know, I share this. I'd ask, Pastor Greg's going to ask someone down in Nanuet, We've been sharing a few of these messages, and this particular woman came out, her and her husband and her children, and she said, I need to share this. I said, okay. She said, you know, I've been trying to do what you said. You know, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. So she said, you know, our car was in for some repairs, and they told me it needed a battery. Okay, that was a couple hundred dollars. So that caused that. So now we get the car back. It still doesn't work right. So now they're telling me it's an alternator. And so I'm beginning to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They're not happy. This is a big bill. It's another $600. So now it's $800. And so to get a car back, and so she said, I'm still thanking God. Thank you, Lord, for the money to pay this, and we're thanking you. We're giving you glory, right? So she said she was somewhere, Starbucks or something, getting a coffee, and she said somebody ran into her car. And so she's still thanking God. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. And she said, while I'm doing all of this, my husband got a job because he works, he's private, he's got his own business. He got a job for $800, covered the expenses. I said, that's what I'm talking about right there. Instead of you complaining about the problem, instead of you saying, how are we going to get this money? How are we going to, this didn't come at the right time. I don't know what we're going to do. Blah, 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 blah. She said, no, I kept my focus right. I kept thanking God. I kept thanking, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And boom, here comes a job to cover the expenses. And I said, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You mixed faith with the word. You could have just said, the word preach, oh, that's nice, and never did anything. Never mixed faith with what you heard. But she did. She mixed faith. What is she? She was actually from her heart saying, thank you, Lord. And that allowed God to do what? Supernaturally begin to work on her behalf. I'll tell you, that excited me. That just excited me. Because I said, now there you go. Right? Hallelujah. So in verse 2, when it says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. This, and then verse 3, I'm sorry, in verse 1 it says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. This word praise and boast in verse 2, this word praise is it in the Greek, it just says that it's, I'm sorry, the Greek, the Hebrew, it says it's a song or a hymn. It's thanksgiving. It's an act of public or general praise. That's what it is. It's just giving thanks to God. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. You're just good to me. And I thank you. And this word boast, it means to brag on, to be commended. So in other words, you're boasting, as it says here, my soul shall make her boast in who? In the Lord. It means to brag on the Lord. It means to be boastful. That's what it means. The Good News Translation, it says, I will praise him for what he has done. May all who are oppressed listen and be glad. Proclaim with me the Lord's greatness. Let us praise his name together. The New International, it says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. You know, when I think about this, you know, there's times in our life and moments, could be a moment, could be a season, that is not happy time. Is not happy at all. I mean, your flesh and your mind want to say something. And you feel a certain way. And I'm just telling you, this is the time that the hardest times in our life should be the times that we purpose to bless God, to thank God. and just lift up our voice, our flesh is going to fight it. We don't want to praise God. We just want to mumble and grumble about something. But we've going to have to thank God, because think about it. What, you know, we all know the story in the Old Testament about the walls of Jericho. He had them go around and do what? Thank God for once a day. He did what once a day? Go around there, walk around, and on the seventh day, do what?
Shout.
And what happened? Them walls came down. So I think, you know, we need to think more along the lines of, you know, there's things, our shout, our voice, our thanksgiving in the natural is doing something in the spirit world, in the spirit realm where God is concerned. And it's causing God to respond in a way to work in our behalf and to do some things that we need, right? I mean, it takes faith to praise God in the midst of a hard time. It takes faith to do that. It's a demonstration of your faith, really, when you think about it. You're demonstrating your faith in God. You're demonstrating thanksgiving in something, in someone that you can't see, and you're giving thanks for something that you haven't got yet. So that takes faith. That takes faith. Just like when we heard these stories about how, you know, they said, well, you know, my body was still hadn't walked and still thanking God that the healing power was working in my body. Well, you got to have to still say thank you and say, God, I thank you in working this out. I thank you that you're working it out for my good. Even though it doesn't feel good. Look at Psalm 22 and verse 3. Psalm 22 and verse 3. These are familiar scriptures here. And this is a very familiar passage of scripture. And look at verse 3. It says, but thou art holy, O thou that does what? Inhabitest the praises of Israel. It says, verse 4, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliverest them. So when it says this word inhabitest, it actually means to dwell, to remain, to abide. So he abides in the praises of his people. The New Living Translation, it says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. So he manifests himself in our praises. And of course, you just experienced that when we have a time of praise and worship. He manifests his presence and you can sense it. Sometimes he may actually allow you to see his glory. That's not as common, but people have and have seen his glory. And I was thinking about that song the other day. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And so, let me read something. This is a book that we've been using on Friday nights to for Bible study called The Spirit of Faith by Mark Hankins. And in that book, we haven't gotten to it yet, but in that book, is the story of Lazarus, where in John 11, you can turn over there just briefly, in John 11, this is the story of Lazarus, and he's speaking to Martha, And look at back up in verse 39 of John 11. He said, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst, what? Believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Hallelujah. So this is what, I just read this little sentence or two here from this book, The Spirit of Faith. It says, the glory is the manifested presence of God. It is present not simply to give you goosebumps, but to change things in your life, move mountains, heal your body, cancel debts, bless you abundantly, bring jubilee to you, and make you happy. So he inhabits the praises of his people. That's his presence, his glory. And that doesn't come just to give us goosebumps. It comes to affect us in a positive way, to heal our bodies, to lift burdens, cancel debts, bring blessing to us, refresh us. Hallelujah. Psalm 92, verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to do what? Sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. That's Psalm 92, verse 1. Now let's go over to Philippians 4, 6. In the New Testament. Philippians 4:6, it says, be careful for nothing. Some translations say be anxious for nothing, or don't take on one care or thought or worry. Don't worry about one thing, one translation says. But in everything, what? By prayer and supplication with what? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto your husband or wife. That's usually how it goes. But let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now I'm just going to read a paragraph here from a book that I have by Rick Renner. And he's a Greek scholar and author. But he writes about this word thanksgiving in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. This word thanksgiving is actually a word called Eucharistia. You know, have you heard the term sometimes, you know, they will talk about the Eucharist, right? Well, this is Eucharistia, is the word. And this is what he said. This is in his daily devotional. He said, the word thanksgiving that Paul uses in this verse is Eucharistia, which is a compound of the words EU and charis, C-H-A-R-S. The word EU means good or well. It denotes a general good disposition or an overwhelming good feeling about something. The word charis is the Greek word for grace. It's interesting. When these two words are compounded into one, they form the word Eucharistia. This compound word describes an outpouring of grace and of wonderful feelings that freely flow from the heart in response to someone or something. So out of our heart comes thanksgiving to God. This is what he's saying. By using this word, Paul teaches us that when we earnestly ask God to do something special for us, we must match it with an earnest outpouring of thanks. Although the request has only just been made and the manifestation isn't evident yet, it is appropriate to thank God for doing what we have requested. Thanking him in advance demonstrates faith. So this is what he's saying. When we ask God to do something, we have to match that with a heart full of gratitude and thanks that he's going to do it. Because he said, you come to me with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. He said, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about one thing. Come to me. I'll take care of it. I'll help you. And so he's saying when we request God to do something, we're to match that with some thanksgiving. Because he said, I don't lie. I cannot lie is what the scripture says. So here, when you look at this particular scripture here, when it talks about being careful for nothing or being anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So how do we obtain the peace of God? Keeping a song in your heart. Keeping thanksgiving and a song in your heart. And the peace of God will come. Hallelujah. Now this is another, because I saw this example here when we talk about thanksgiving and praise. This is an excerpt from something that Kenneth E. Hagin, the father, wrote. And he said this is something that Jesus spoke to him one of the times that he appeared to him. And I'll just read this. This is in one of his little mini books. He said, in a vision to Brother Hagin, the Lord appeared to him and shared a few things, and one was this. Jesus said to him, he's standing in front of him. He said, if anybody, this is what Jesus said to Brother Hagin, if anybody anywhere will take these four steps or put these four principles into operation, he will always receive whatever he wants from me or from God the Father. Always. He said if they, and then, of course, I didn't put this down, but he said, Jesus said, write it down. 1, 2, 3, 4. So he said, Brother Hagin is writing this down. And he said, step number one, say it. He said, in the vision, Jesus said, positive or negative, it is up to the individual. According to what the individual says, that shall he receive. So in other words, he said, this is going back to Mark 11:23. Whatever a person says and believes in their heart is what they're going to receive. If God's promised it, and I believe it, and I don't doubt, and I say it, I'll have it. So Jesus said, if you take these four steps and put them into operation, anywhere, by anyone, he said, you will always receive from me, or, he said, from God the Father, whatever you want. So he said, number one, say it. Number two, do it. What does that mean? You act upon, and this is why I pulled this out. Look what Psalm 34, let's go and look at Psalm 34 again as I'm reading this. You got to say it and do it. Look at what is Psalm 34. Because Brother Hagin, when he first told him, and I didn't share all of this here, he said, Lord, you're going to have to show me that in the scripture. Because he said, it's too simple. And he said, okay, I'm going to show you. How many scriptures do you want? I'll show them to you. See, we think we're so smart. But Psalm 34, when it says, say it, what is there? I will what? I will bless the Lord at all times. Yeah, but then what is it? Colon. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's doing. See, this first line is what? I will bless the Lord at all times. You're saying it. You're saying it. That's all right. You can shout out. You can see it. If you see it, you see it. He's saying it. I will bless the Lord at all times. But his praise is doing it. His praise is going to be continually in my mouth. It's one thing to say, well, yeah, I'm going to praise the Lord. But then when something hard comes, it's like, eh. You don't do it. See, he's saying here, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise is continually on my mouth. So that was step two, saying it and doing it, right? Then he said, number three is receive it. You receive from God what he promised. So now where is receive it in here? He said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. He's still talking about what he's going to do. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he what? He heard me and did what? And delivered me from all my fears. He received. He received it. See? And then the last, real simple, tell it. He said, if you do these four things, you say it, you do it, you receive it, and you tell it. Well, where's tell it in here? It's verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof. From who? You. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Hallelujah. Just as an aside, before I continue looking at these four steps, go over to Mark chapter 4. You know, this is one of other scriptures, but look at Mark chapter 5 and look at verse 25. So he's talking about saying it, doing it, receiving it, and telling it, right? And this is one of the examples Jesus told him. He said, well, you're going to have to show me in the Word. He said, okay, you know that story about the woman with the issue of blood? He said, why don't you, that's these four steps right here. It says here in verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she what? She heard of Jesus. So this is where faith came in. She heard the word. She heard something promised. And then what? She came in the press behind and touched his garment. So she got up and did something when she heard it. Faith came, she acted on it. Now look what happened. For she said, saying it, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She said it. And what happened? And straightway the fountain of her blood dried up. She received it. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and did what? She told it. Now, let me ask a question. It says she told him all the truth. Don't you think that those that were pressed around her heard her? Oh, yeah. So when she told Jesus all the truth, those that were around her heard it. So that's why I wanted to pull that example out. Saying it, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Doing it, receiving it. Receiving what? Receiving deliverance from God. Receiving something from God because of my thanksgiving. And then telling it. Telling what the Lord has done. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what he's saying right here. That's us. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So we can see here those four steps. And I would encourage you, write them down. You find something in the scripture that promises you that. You say, well, thank you, Lord. I believe. Say it. I believe that I receive my healing in my body. And then you do what? You act upon that. And you, just like we read this morning in these scriptures, entries where that young man hadn't walked, he received something, but he kept his faith active. He mixed faith with something he had received. Hallelujah. So we tell others, we say it, we do it, we receive it, and then what? We tell it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why, for me, things that God has spoken to me or to this ministry, I say it. And then we do. That's why when we call in weekly, we receive our offering and we speak to that $80,000 a week. We just didn't dream up that number. We didn't just say, oh, that sounds like a good number. No. Actually, the way that came about, so you understand the backstory, this was, I don't know how many years ago, it was actually after Pastor Clinton had passed away, so it was after 2005, so it was somewhere around 2006-ish. And so I went to Pastor Guy, I said, I'm hearing something in my spirit that we ought to call in a certain amount of money. And I had heard 60, and then I got, nope, 80. And Pastor Greg got the same number, and so did Pastor Sarah. And we didn't even discuss it. We heard that amount in our hearts. So that's how that all came about. And we call that money in weekly. We speak to it and call it in. Now, whether it comes in and manifests, we give thanks to God. And he's working something out. He's working it out. Whether it comes in one lump or it comes weekly, it's don't matter. He said he'll do it. So we thank God for him, for that money weekly. Amen. And that's the same thing. He knows what you need. So what does the scripture say in Psalm 113? It says, praise ye the Lord. This is verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Hallelujah. I like this, the Message. You know, the Message always has a way of writing, putting something more modern. It says, from east to west, from dawn to dusk, it's another way of saying it, keep lifting all your praises to God. Psalm 118, you know, you're familiar with this, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will what? Rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's just, I'm going to close with this scripture because we're going to pick up here next week. 1 Thessalonians chapter 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's no verse 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. I'm sorry, not 1 Thessalonians, excuse me. I'm jumping ahead here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Says, but thanks to who? Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Talking about giving God thanks. It says, now what? Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So you can see here, when we give thanks, right? Look, and when we look at verse 57 and 1 Corinthians, it says, thanks be unto God, which what? Gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see, and then also in this 2 Corinthians, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. So you can see our thanksgiving causes what? Victory, triumph, and it's tied to what? Our thanks. Our thanks to God. So our thanks gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, and our thanks always causes us to triumph in Christ. So it ought to tell us something about thanksgiving and praise that sometimes I think we don't do enough. You know, I was watching Dr. Billy Brim. I'm finished and closed, but I'll just share this, you know, after the message here. But she was sharing from a book of an evangelist from the late 1800s, early 1900s. Her name is Marie, or sometimes they pronounce it Mariah, M-A-R-I-A. We call it Maria. Some may call it Mariah. Marie Woodworth Eder. And she was, a single woman, and she had an anointing upon her. And they said that this is the late 1800s, early 1900s, she had big tent meetings. And they said she would minister under such a powerful anointing that sometimes she would just stop like this in midair, and she'd stay frozen there under the power of God for a day or two. Just like this. Any move. And they said that she would believe. She believed God. This is great stories. They said she believed God that within a 40-mile radius of her meetings, people would fall out under the power of God. And they said when a train would run through a city near her meetings, the people would fall out like dead on the trains. And they'd have to take them off the train, bring them to the meetings for her to pray for them. And they said the train operator would say, there must be a Marie Woodworth Eder meeting in the area. And she believed God for that. And so they were, you know, Dr. Brim was just sharing about her, you know, in this book. I'm going to get this book, this particular book. You can get it through Amazon. But she was saying that during her meetings, sometimes, you know, we have to look, sometimes you go back and look at history. Not saying that we're trying to replicate what she did. But sometimes you just look and say, She never started her meetings with worship and thanksgiving. She always started with the word. She taught, she'd come out, teach the word for a very short period of time, half an hour or less. And then she said, then they would begin to thank God and praise God until the power fell. And I thought, interesting. We don't praise God enough. We don't thank God enough. We just don't. We He inhabits the praises of His people. And so you teach the word. I'm not saying we're going to do that. I pray about it. But it just was an interesting thing that she was sharing. That they came in, they shared the word for a small amount of time. And then they began to just praise God and thank God. And she said the power of, and they would praise God until the power of God would manifest. And I thought, interesting. Sometimes we're so clock conscious. Are we over yet? We done yet? She said they wouldn't do that at those meetings. They were seeking God. They came for an answer. They came with the sick, the infirm, the troubled. They came, they'd hear something from the Bible, but then they would thank God and begin to praise Him until He showed up. And I thought, whoa. Now that's something to consider. That when we thank God, you know, when He inhabits our praises, you notice just to yourself, you play nice praise music, you have that going in your house, it creates an atmosphere in your home. Even yourself, you keep a song in your heart, you're not thinking about your problem as much. Your problem becomes less in comparison to the big God that you're serving and the praise that you're lifting up. He becomes exalted, right? And so it's just, it's something that I've been, you know, meditating on and thinking about, and God has just put in my heart. Share these messages on thanksgiving and praise. And so it's just, you know, when I see some things just like what's going on with Kanye West, not to use him as an example, but just that when I look at that, he's not a teacher or a preacher, but he's a singer. So what do you do? We gather and they go around to different spots and they've got 100 voices or 150 voices to do what? Lift up thanksgiving and praise to God. And I thought, you know, where's that thanksgiving coming from their heart? So we ought to think about that. So as we go into this, you know, next week we're with family and keep a song in your heart. Keep thanksgiving in your heart for what He's done, right? Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for being so good to us. Thank You, and we give You praise, and we give You honor. Thank You for the blood of Jesus. Thank You for sending, Father, we thank You for sending Jesus here to carry our sins and take them to hell for us. Thank you that you took our sins. You carried them. You took them to hell. And when that was paid for, when sin was paid for, Jesus was released and raised from the dead. And the scripture says we were raised with him. And so, Father, we thank you. Thank you that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. And we thank you. Thank you for delivering us from bondage and from fear. Thank you that we no longer are under the control of Satan any longer. But we thank you and give you praise that we've been translated into the kingdom of your dear Son. And so we're so grateful today. We're so thankful for having our life and our existence in Christ. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.